Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. This is Bev Herring, and recently I was reminded of some notes that my husband and I made some time ago when we were talking about what to do when you just don't know what to do. And I thought I'd look those up and share some of them with you today. You know, there are times in life when pursuing our purpose, well, we don't know which way to go or what to do. This is especially true when the enemy attacks in an effort to break your focus and derail your plans. In 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 3, we see where not one, but three kings are aligning themselves against Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, in the Living Bible, it says, Jehoshaphat was badly shaken by this news and determined to beg for help from the Lord. So he announced that all the people of Judah should go without food for a time in penitence and in intercession before God. In this verse, verse 3, the scripture says that Jehoshaphat feared, but then he did something very wise. He sought help from the Lord. Jehoshaphat didn't complain. He sought the Lord. He didn't contact the generals or the chief of staffs, joint chief of staff, and call a meeting. The first thing he did was seek the Lord. What's the first thing we do when the enemy attacks? In verse 12, it says, gives us a real key when facing a tough situation, or like my husband likes to say, you're in a tight spot. Verse 12 says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This in the Classic Amplified. O our God, will you not exercise judgment upon them? For we have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. I love that. Our eyes are upon the Lord. And that's really the best place to focus. So then we get into verses 14 and 15, because here is Jehoshaphat's answer after he prayed to God and had Judah pray to God for help. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You see what the Lord said? Don't be afraid. The battle is mine. You know, in every area of our lives, in everything we face, we need to remember that we're not in it alone. The Lord is right there with us. And in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17, it says, you shall not need to fight this battle. Take your position, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. I was provoked the other day when we were talking about sending the praisers out. You know, we position ourselves for victory over our enemies by getting out in front of the battle. King Jehoshaphat positioned the children of Israel for victory by seeking God and then sending the praisers out before the battle. The scripture says that when we've done all we can do, we'll have to stand. According to Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word for stand in 2 Chronicles 17:20 is H5975. H5975, and it means to stand, remain, endure, take one's stand, to make a stand, to hold one's ground. The Roman soldiers that we know of in Jesus' time, the frontline troops, would have these metal spikes in their boots, and they would, their sandals really, and they would fasten them to the bottom of their shoes so that when the spike was in the ground, it made them almost, I mean, immovable in defeat or death. When the Bible tells us to stand, it's important for us to understand that the word stand was not a passive term, but rather an instruction to hold your ground while aggressively anticipating the victory. We can praise God, and we really need to. We talked about this recently, about what he's done in our lives. When we get in there with praise and thanksgiving, It really unleashes the host of heaven to battle on our behalf. The Lord loves to inhabit the praises of his people. Our enemies get confused and flee at the very fear that they sought to put upon us. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 18, it says, "And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." 2 Chronicles 20, verse 19 goes on to say, "They stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with a loud voice on high." You know, it seems to me truly that every word of the Lord is strategically placed in Scripture for our use and our benefit. When the Scripture says the children of Israel rose up early in the morning, that's almost like a message for each of us. If we're in the midst of a battle, and ours may not be a physical battle, but to rise up early in the morning and present it before the Lord, when we rely and trust on the Lord, victory can be ours. In 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.'" The New Living Translation of that scripture, 2 Chronicles 20:20, says, "Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." The prize for every battle fought and won by the king and his men were the spoils of war. In 1 Chronicles 26:27, 1 Chronicles 26:27, in the New King James Version, it says, "Out of the spoils won in the battle did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord." Not only did Jehoshaphat win the war, but God gave him the spoils and dedicated them to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 25, New Living Translation, it says, "King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days just to collect it all." You know, we were reflecting, talking about this story, and we were showing seven keys that what we need to do when we don't know what to do. And they're taken from 2 Chronicles 20, verses 17 through 20. So let's look at the verses again and see what we can pick out. Classic Amplified Bible, it says in verse 17, "You shall not need to fight this battle. Take your position, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And in 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, "And they arose in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.'" So here are seven things to do when we don't know what to do. Number one, recognize we're never alone. It says, "Ye shall not need to fight this battle." Our key to victory in life is not our knowledge and skill in, well, fighting enemies, or even our mental abilities over others. Our key is to remember and recall that God is fighting our battles and what he says and what we need to follow to do. Exodus 23:22 says, "But if you will indeed listen to and obey his voice, I will be an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversaries." Hallelujah. And another great scripture that we love to quote and haven't actually quoted in a while. Romans 8:31 in the Amplified Bible says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side?" Number two, position yourself for victory with a praise on your lips. We need to get out in front of our battles by praising God. Remember, look up that journal and read the things that he's already done. And even think of the things he's doing and has done, is going to do, well, he did yesterday and is going to do more today. In Psalm 35:28 in the Amplified Bible, it says, "My tongue shall talk of your righteousness, rightness, and justice, and of my reasons for your praise all the day long." And number three, stand your ground. Ephesians 6:13 in the Amplified Bible says, therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all, the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. We're going to talk more about that. It's so good, Ephesians 6. Number four, focus on your answer, your deliverance. Don't dwell on the dilemma and the problem. Focus on the solution. Psalm 34:19 in the New Century Version says, people who do what is right may have many problems, but the Lord, that's what we need to go to, but the Lord will solve them all. Number five, no fear, no anxiety, no worry, just confident trust. Isaiah 41:9-10 Message Bible says, don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady, keep a firm grip on you. Can anybody say hallelujah? And number six, prepare to follow God's instructions. Deuteronomy 5:32 in the Message Bible says, so be very careful to act exactly as God commands you. Don't veer off to the right or the left. Walk straight down the road God commands so that you'll have a good life and live a long time in the land that you're about to possess. And seven, believe you're man or woman of God. In 1 Timothy 6:11, Classic Amplified, it says, but as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things, aim at and pursue righteousness, right standing with God, and true godliness. True goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God and being Christ-like, faith, love, steadfastness, patience, and gentle of heart. Job 36:11 says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. You know, in the proverb, it actually, in some of the translations, says, when it says, listen to your father and your mother, it's talking about Father God, and mother actually represents the church, so that we know who God is and we go to church and allow the man of God or the woman of God to lead us, and we have our accountability through our church. Okay, today we are going to have a wonderful Wednesday. We praise the Lord for you. We want you to go out there and enjoy everything that the Lord is prepared for you and is ahead of you. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30, God bless you, happy trails, and keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. We love you and we appreciate you. Bye-bye.